We are blessed again to have visitors with us. We're very thankful that you're here. And I hope that you have been edified in our worship service and will continue to be edified as we go to God's Word to see what He would have us do, what type of people we ought to be. And I want to begin our sermon this morning by looking at asking a question. What is your goal in living the rest of your life? I don't want to hear any excuses for you not making your previous goals. I'm talking about the rest of your life. Don't know how long that will be. We don't. But if you were to start today, what would be that goal that you would set? Do I want to get a better job? Do I want to further my education? Do I want to go all of the baseball places in the United States, hit every stadium? Do I want to do that the rest of my life? Well, those be fine goals. You might have. But I would like you to entertain this goal, is to be a soul winner for Jesus. That's the rest of my life, whatever's happened before, whatever has happened, you tried and you stopped. I'd like to just look at this point forward. Why would that should be our goal? Why should it be? I'm going to show you why. And just to remind us that it is something that every child of God should be involved with. Our reaching out to save the souls of men. Paul says this, I have become all things to all men. That's when he said, to the weak I became weak. I'm coming where they are, having to deal with them where they are, and as long as I can be faithful to my Lord and abide by His law, I become all things to all men. What is His goal? I'm going to do this to all men so that I by all means may save some. May save some. Don't know how many that would be. It didn't mean I'm going to convert everybody. I'm going to save this whole world, and if I don't, I'm a failure. What if I don't even start as a Christian? What happens if I don't do this? I think that we have missed what it means to be a Christian. I become all things to all men to save some. And we begin with one. So this morning I would like to look at it in a positive way and a sobering way. Why I want to be a soul winner. Number one, I want to be wise. In Proverbs 11th chapter and verse 30, the righteous shall be a tree of life, and he that is wise shall win souls. He that is wise is going to win souls. And when I think of that verse, I say, why is that wise? Because every human being is worth a lot. Every human being. Matthew 12, verses 11 and 12. Here was one with a withered hand, and Jesus is involved in kind of help deal with them, but are you going to heal on the Sabbath? If a sheep falls into a ditch, would you pick him up on the Sabbath? How much more is man worth than a sheep? And then he healed the man on a Sabbath. He wasn't violating the law. He was doing good. But he's saying that man is worth our desire to save him. He's worth more than sheep in a ditch. And we would probably do that. Would you be that man this week I saw in Jonesboro, Arkansas on the television? Where he was stopped at a light? Three or four lanes, and he was stopped at the light. He was the front car, and it was a man rolling on a wheelchair trying to get across four or five lanes. What did that man do? Honk. He got out of his car. He got behind the wheelchair. I don't think that guy has ever went so fast. But he pushed him across there. Never seen him get back in his car. I'm sure he did. I wonder about the people behind him. Are they honking? I don't think so. He said, what a wonderful thing. I don't know if he had a costume on or not. I couldn't see. being a hero, but he did something. Here was something valuable to him. It was a thing to do. He wasn't the third car back. He's the first car up, and he could get out and take care of that. Man is worth something. Hebrews, the second chapter, what is man that thou shalt be mindful of him, or the son of man, thou visiteth him. You made him a little lower than the angels. We're not just spiritual beings. We take on flesh and blood. Angels don't have to deal with that. But we are people that are worth something. He put all things under his hands. He's speaking there about mankind. You can determine if that roach lives or that squirrel lives. You can make pathways for the seed to go and water around your house. You can control things. Everything's been put into your hands. You're in control of the pets. You control if you're going to feed the birds or not. But a human being has a soul, and you're wise to pay attention. And part of that is winning their soul. A soul is worth more than all the world. Jesus is trying to talk to his followers here, not the world, but we get the point. Where if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. It's not going to be about you. You have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Luke talks about doing it daily. And when you see that and follow me, he talks about our life. And that it's what it is worth, and worth more than this world. That if you gain the whole world and forfeit your life, he's encouraging the believer to be willing to die for the Lord. But if you forfeited that, you could gain the whole world and forfeit your life, you indeed would be profiting nothing. And if you try to buy it back, there's not anything to buy back that soul, buy back that life. It is something that's worth than all the world. And it ought to be on our radar. Except that's going to be a goal. The soul is eternal. All the Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection, and they began to say, oh, well, let's give a little problem for Jesus to answer. Man had a wife, he dies. They have no children, no heirs. Married a second one, a third, all these wives come, seven of them. And the resurrection, who's she going to belong to? And they err, not knowing the scriptures of power of God. But he says, in the resurrection, here are the sons of the resurrection. In the resurrection, they neither marry or given in marriage. Now, one of your goals may be, I want to get married. And that's wonderful. But as we look to eternity, that won't be a major thing in your life. It'd be nice if you could get married. It'd be nice if you don't, not married. God's not demanding that. But here's a situation that when that happens, there's something worth looking forward to, and the soul doesn't end when marriage ends here on earth. We're going to be sons of the resurrection, be as of the angels. They have no flesh and blood issues. And we cannot die. Oh, to be in a place you cannot die. We're going to die here. Or we're going to be changed real quickly when the Lord comes into a glorious body other than what we have. But we're not going to die there. We're going to live on. A spirit never goes out of existence. And we are created in the image of God with a spirit. Our soul, spirit, departs from our body at death, but it never goes out of existence. Eternity in heaven? Are the resurrected from the dead with that spirit, and you'll destroy both soul and body in hell. It will never go out of existence. And we realize that dog quit breathing, that's it. That parakeet, that fish. Oh, all these animals, I love them. But the soul never goes out of existence. It's going to be wise to pay attention to them. Paul said in Philippians, the first chapter, 21 through 23, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. It's much far better to go and be with Christ. Far greater than to stay here in the flesh, but I got to produce fruit. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I don't know which one I'm going to do. He's going to do what God allows him to do, but he realizes there's something greater waiting the death of the body. We do not go out of existence. Our soul is eternal. And that neighbor, that friend, one you're working with, one you play with, recreate with, all that, they have an eternal soul too. It's what God has done to save souls of man. It ought to make it important for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world, that's everybody in it, that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, life that will not end. This spiritual, glorious life is ahead for every person in this world. And we're living around them. We're living around people. And it's so wise to know that and to operate appropriately. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, 19, oh, you were not redeemed by corruptible things, by silver and gold, handed down from your vain life, from your fathers. No, it's corruptible. Things are corruptible. Silver and gold. That's corruptible things. We're gonna leave it behind. Or it may be inherited from one generation to another. But all those things are going to see. They're not that important. Silver, gold, my inheritance. What is that God saw our situation and he gave his only begotten Son. We were redeemed with precious blood, not corruptible silver and gold. Not your inheritance. We got a lot of money now because what we inherited. No, that's vain. Jesus' blood is precious. And it was one that was shed for us. It is without blemish, without spot, even the blood of Christ. He doesn't say, well, you're redeemed by blood. He tells you exactly whose blood. Oh, we've been redeemed. God's done it somewhere. He gave it to us through his Son who he died on the tree. And if God has done that to save that little man in the wheelchair or that person sitting by you at a restaurant, whatever, wherever you may find people, you realize they're important. And you know what? I want to be wise. And you know what will help me when I get to be engaged in being a soul winner, my thoughts are that way. You know what's going to help? It's going to help me stay on track. What did he say previous? He is wise that saves souls. That wins souls, he's wise. The fruit of the righteous gives life. How do they know about Jesus Christ? Eternity, heaven or hell? What the resurrection will be like. You led them to it. You talk to them about the gospel. You know what it does? When you realize I have invested in their well-being, you know what? That's going to help me be righteous so I can be a tree of life. They can come to a source that will help them continue. But if we don't ever start, that line's cut. Everything stays the same on the way to hell. No, I want to be a soul winner. Because that is a wise way to live all my life. But see, we're just talking about the rest of your life. Secondly, I want to be a soul winner because it makes me like Christ. I'm like Christ. Christ, what did you do? Son of man came to seek and to save that which is lost. to seek it, to go connect with people about it. We're to walk in his steps in 1 Peter 2:21, a context of being willing to suffer for the cause. Jesus suffered. But we're to walk as he walked. And he's an example for us to follow, to be like Christ. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 45, we want to be like Christ. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Is a disciple above his teacher? Is a servant above his Lord? Matthew 10, 24, 25. Nope. Just to be like him is good. That's good. Just to be like him. Here's my Lord, I'll be like him. Here's my teacher, I'll be like him. That's part of being a disciple of Christ. And that's what we are, aren't we? The disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. And we call ourselves disciples, we call ourselves Christians. I want to be wise, but I want to be like Christ. He went out and he sought them. We could do that too. And I hope our minds are set. What ways can I do that? Not what ways can I not do that. What ways could I do that? Thirdly, I want to be a soul winner to carry out the Great Commission today. Oh, you're not an apostle. That's right. They're all dead. And a lot of them wrote this book. Nobody reads. What can I do? I'm alive. I have whatever it is the rest of my life. And that's the way I hope you're thinking. That in Matthew 28, 19, yes, it's the apostles being called to go out into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Tell them I'm with you always, the end of the world, so we don't leave the teachings of Christ. We're out there. This is what I want you to be committed to. And they did that. Those men faithfully carried that out. And they were able to convert many in this world. Sometime one sermon brought about 3,000 souls to baptism. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go preach the gospel. You go carry that gospel to people. We got the gospel. It is in us and we need to deliver it unto people. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Oh, I don't want that precious soul to be lost. Because I'm wise. I'm interested in them. I want to fulfill that great commission in my day, in my years that I have left. And to keep on doing that. That would be a good reason for doing that. And I need to not be comfortable and say, hey, y'all come. And it gets to be that way, like I like to invite you to services. And we can do that. Or we can take the invitation out and go. And want to have more than, we like to invite you to services, but would you be interested in a Bible study? You know what? We got Bible studies going a lot during a month. More than just Sunday morning, Wednesday night here. What a time. Then why don't you join me? We're studying the Bible, and the topics change about every week. That you could just say, come. And what you've done, you've reached out to bring the four ideas just to visit. But there's your Bible study already done. You just bring them along. And sometimes I just say, come, please come. And when they get here, they have a brochure in the back that introduces us. It's very beautifully written. But if they never come, they never get that. Why not take two or three with you? and say, you know, during the week, I'm going to spend my time, I'm going to invite somebody, but I may have something to invite them to, hey, on the 21st of this month or on the 7th of this month. I'm going to have that. We've got young people that we have a class every month, the last Sunday night. And that would be an opportunity that says, why not try that? If you're going to be a soul winner, that might be something to think about. And we can all print up more. But sometimes the visitors that come, they don't go back there and get it. So why don't you have this? We could be busy doing that. I want to be a soul winner because the early Christians were soul winners. I looked at the example of those who were truly following Jesus. Acts the 5th chapter and verse 42. They had been beaten. And these apostles got up from their beating. And they were involved in preaching Christ in the home and in the temple. Now I think I've done some good if I get beaten up and I crawl back up in this pulpit. Here we are in the church building and I'm preaching. But invite you to my home? To have a home study with somebody? I just can't get up for that. Yeah, we could. I'm just too tired. Don't have it in me. They said, well, if you do try to convert them, you'll get $10,000. What, are you too tired now? You just can't make it? Will we do it for $10,000? This soul is worth more than your money. And we got to realize, no, I can do that. And they preach Christ in the home, in their homes, and in the temple. And when they were driven out because of persecution, they scattered. They went, still went out and preached the kingdom and preached Christ in Acts 8 and verse 4. That's what the disciples were doing. And they were real involved in trying to save souls, precious souls that are important. Philip, one who wasn't one of the 12 apostles, scattered about. He has an angel tell him that, an angel of Jehovah, you go down south. He didn't tell him who's going to meet yet. Or Gaza. And then we'll find that angel wants him to join the chariot. And you may not have read this very closely, but my Bible says he ran to the chariot. He didn't say, well, I hope our paths cross here. He ran. It's important. And probably a chariot was going faster than he could go if he didn't run. But he ran to the chariot. All of a sudden, contact happens. Do you understand what you read? I need somebody to help me. He, the one who needed to be saved, invited him into the chariot. He taught him Christ. The man said, I need to be baptized. Here's water, what hindered me to be baptized. Oh, if you believe it, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. And he baptized him. Both down went the water. We said, well, baptism is my goal. No, I think saving souls should be our goal, because that means after baptism, we want to teach them to keep them saved. If they will allow it. And sometimes that's when you learn a lot of things you didn't know before when you baptized them. But Philip, here's a Christian, here's a disciple. God cared about one soul, got the preacher connected with the man, and the man began to realize, hey, this Christ means baptism, and I want to be baptized. That's a wonderful moment. That's what was happening in the first century. You know what Andrew did? Here, John the Baptist is pointing out Jesus. Earlier, he said, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And all of a sudden, he points out Jesus as the Lamb. And Andrew is one of the two, and he connected, he kind of got in touch with Jesus, says, you know, where are you lodging? Where are you staying? and he went with him. And when Andrew saw Jesus, he sought out his brother, Peter, and brought him to Jesus. Peter's better known than Andrew, isn't he? He accomplished a lot for the Lord. First one to preach to the Gentiles. Had his weaknesses. But as far as me known more, I would say we know Peter more than Andrew. But who was the one that brought Peter to Jesus? It was Andrew. He didn't say, you come. He brought him. And therefore, he's kind of a soul winner. And what did Peter do? He first wanted to preach to the Gentiles the gospel. Next, the 10th chapter, verses 33 through 48. God does all these miraculous things. And after a four-day period, we'll find that Peter's come up from Joppa. Cornelius is waiting for him with all of his household. We're here to hear what God commands us to do. To do the go the way of the Lord. And he preached to him about Jesus. And that we're witnesses. He didn't appear to all the people after his resurrection. He appeared to witnesses. He didn't appear to all the Jews. He appeared to these apostles now. And Peter said, I'm one of them. And if you believe on him, you'll have the remission of your sins. And the Holy Spirit worked that day to come upon them to show they are now people who can be saved. Been Jews first, now the Gentiles can be saved. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Why? Because in the name of Jesus, you can be saved. And the authority of Jesus' death and resurrection could be saved. So there was that teaching him, and Cornelius and his household submitted to that. They could have walked away. Well, if there's a miracle there, we wouldn't lose them. Not necessarily. Jesus did a lot of miracles, and there weren't a lot of disciples following him. They got the wrong idea about miracles. But they had an opportunity there to teach them the way of the Lord, and that's exactly what they did. Not only did the early Christians do that, because I want to bear fruit unto Christ. In John the 15th chapter and verses 1 and 2, but we'll look at verse 2. When he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. But least you are bearing fruit. Whether it's more, much, let that be determined by God. But just bear fruit. That's part of being on with the branch. We're connected with the vine. And that vine is abiding in the branch is abiding in the vine because they're connected together by faith. And here is the disciples, and he said, that's us. I'm abiding in the vine, and I'm a branch. And this branch is just taken away. What happens to it? Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire that are burned. If ye abide in me, and here's that connection, my words abide. Holy Spirit didn't get in you. Jesus didn't get in you. He gets in you by faith. But he says here, if ye abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, that's how the Lord gets in us. Ask whatsoever you will, and it should be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. I call myself a disciple of the Lord. I believe every Christian here does. We are learners. We're learning about how important it is to be a soul winner. We know that's the will of God for all of us. Wonder if I don't put that as something I want to accomplish and put every effort into to do that. I don't think I'm going to be saved. My salvation depends on my effort to save souls. I didn't say that's the basis of my salvation, to earn my way to heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what it means to be connected with the Lord, to put forth an effort to personally reach someone. That's on me. I'm an evangelist. It's big on me. But it's on all of us. And that's not a negative. It's just an eye-opener to real. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. And we glorify God when we bear much fruit. But we don't get much until we get started and do what we can to reach others and start using our brains. We got modern technology now. We've got all sorts of things. I suppose we need to think about it. We don't have to just show a film strip. And we can just talk to people. Jesus talked to a woman at the well. It just had to be. I'm thirsty and she's got the water. And I'm going to give her living water. Who we come in contact? Do we keep silent? Do we just don't think about it? See, it keeps us on track. Are we the righteous that brings fruit to people that want to come to have eternal life? Or are we just don't extend the word, Philippians 2? Nope. We just keep quiet. And we've tried and we failed and we quit. No, we don't. I got the rest of my time to start thinking about how I can reach the souls of men, and that becomes important. And the final part is just so much joy. There's just joy in a soul being saved. And you and I know that, the ones you have influence upon. When people are baptized, we don't come there and cry. Unless it's cry with joy. And whether you're young or whether they're old, it's a wonderful time. And so I want to see that more. In Philippians, the 4th chapter in verse 1, Paul calls the Philippians his joy and his crown. Because they had obeyed the gospel. Wherefore, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown. Stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. He loved them. There is joy, and that's his reward. He just wants them now to remain saved. And he writes to them with all joy that is taking place. It's a joy when one sees a disciple walking in truth. Look at 3 John. Verses 3 and verse 4. The letter is written to Gaius, a disciple of the Lord, and one that needs to be, that is commended by John. And read closely with me in verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and bear witness unto thy truth, even as thou walkest in truth. Greater joy have I none than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Gaius, I've heard of your walk. I've heard of your walking in truth. And I have so much joy to hear about that. Notice he says, you're walking. He said, I bear witness unto thy truth. He said, well, I thought we didn't have our truth. Hey, Gaius did. Listen, St. John put it together. You're walking in your truth. You're walking in truth. And thirdly, you're walking in the truth. That's the combination. You're walking in truth. That's your truth because you're walking in the truth. And that's part of what makes joy happen. You're walking in the truth now. It becomes your truth because you just obey the gospel. It's your confession. You're now baptized into Christ. You're going to walk in the way of the Lord. And that's going to make people joyous. In Acts 16:34, when the jailer, as we read at the beginning of our service, when he thought he's going to kill himself, he's going to take his life that moment. And we find Paul said, no, we're all here. What must I do to be saved? Got to believe on the Lord, so he taught him the word. And immediately, they didn't wait for denominational baptismal service. Immediately, because that soul needs to be saved. Immediately he was baptized in his house. And the family brought, they're going to eat, and they brought them to that, and they rejoiced greatly. Because they have believed. I'm a believer. I know that I've been obedient to faith, baptized into Christ. And we have believed according to the truth of the gospel. Paul led them. God, providence brought them together. And you may find a lot of times it's a moment that I need to speak up. And I can have an inroad. And I can let them know what is important, what is of value in life. But sometimes our radar has gotten dull, maybe because we haven't succeeded like we like. Don't quit. Don't quit. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day, because he does, present tense, does so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner. I want to aid him in leaving his erring way and from the bondage. He's free from that bondage that of sin he's in. I want to be a soul winner every day because of that. And also what he's done for me. We sing with chorus what he's done for me. Not just what he does, what he's done. He shed his precious blood so we can be forgiven. I want others to experience that too. Our disciples did. I want to follow my master, Jesus Christ. He's my teacher. I'm his disciple. He's my Lord. I'm his servant. I want to be just like him. I want to fulfill the Great Commission, because everybody that was inspired of God is dead. And we got the word. Let's keep on spreading it. I want to be wise. I know in doing that, I'm going to have to remain righteous. That just keeps me strong so I can produce fruit. And I want to bear fruit for the Lord and realize, Lord, give me more opportunities for bearing fruit. God's providence works. There's people I've come in contact with that I would have never done it. I wouldn't know them. But certain things happen. That's why when these little kids ride around their bicycle here and you think you're going to get killed one day, I'm giving away Bibles. And I pray that they will want to come back and study. Late last night, there was a man with his son riding a bicycle. And I was thinking about this sermon. I said, well, I'm going to be engaged. I think I scared him. It's late at night. But our lights are still on. And my light should still be on. And I tried to be friendly to them, maybe hoping that day I could talk to them about the gospel. But the kid had his helmet on, but he had a cool bicycle. And I could compliment that. And his dad said, tell him, thank you. He said, thank you, sir. But just start greeting. Every opportunity we have, we can do that. Because there's so much joy in bearing fruit. And the more we do that, God is glorified even more. And so shall we be his disciples. And if we can help each other and doing that, go with you or talk to you, just be interested in that. Just put forth the effort and you'll be surprised what God can do with his people today. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become one. If you've already been studying, you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, do so, because to not do so, you're lost. But if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, be willing to confess who he is, like the Ethiopian eunuch did. You know, he was over all the treasure of the queen. But there wasn't any more, there wasn't anything more precious than his soul that day, or his soul in eternity. And he made the right decision. We want to help you make that right decision. If we can help you, come to the Lord as we stand and as we sing.